Well, Jeff, I'll just get in here with you and debate. Let me say, Brendan O'Davnia and Shaw Highland Radio. Folks, welcome to the DL debate. Thanks, as ever, for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. So I want to say first thank you to the legendary DJ, Ivan Borland, for the Power Hour Plus. Of course, Donna Marie for the news. Mark Gallard here is producing this evening, folks. Another packed show in store for yous. We're going to talk All Matters Championship now shortly. And we're going to be joined by two of the greats of the game, the one and only Brendan Kilcoyne, our top pundits in studio. Brendan, how are you this evening?
Top of the evening to you, Brendan. All good.
Top of the evening. And I tell you what, I'm delighted to say, Sports Journalist of the Year, the man of knowledge, don't pay the ferryman, Ryan Ferry is with us as well. Ryan, how are you? We round of applause there for Ryan. Yeah,
man, Ryan.
Thanks very much.
I can hear champagne corks sparking in the background.
Yeah, something like that, Brad. Now the party hats off now. I wouldn't go as long as you would, Brendan, when the parties go.
not many would, Ryan.
That's consigned to history, that, Ryan. I'm not able for it anymore, as everybody knows once you get past
like the country
internet.
Music stars and the rock stars, Brendan, you know.
Keep jamming. Hey, I'd like to think I helped you out a bit in that, Ryan. Me and you have many a good discussion. Brendan, have you got no word lately, no?
No, I
haven't got any other. I'm sure there must be one coming somewhere. I don't even know who does it, but we'll take one. Me and Brendan will take one. But Ryan, you help. And listen, Ryan, in fairness, that, well done. Hey, listen, great honour.
I was delighted with it, Brendan, to be honest, because it was a very good achievement to get nominated. So we get plenty of good support in the Donegal News, and they give me a bit of freedom. And so it was nice to win it.
Yeah, doing great stuff. Folks, first, just on the show, I just want to say the Masters. Tough luck. It was a tough assignment against a serious Tyrone outfit. They were going for five in a row and they got there 5-10-1-9. Eddie Crawford's team, Big Brian captaining Brendan, but it was it's a serious Tyrone juggernaut they were up against. But listen, they made the final. They give it their all in it, but just beaten by a better side.
Just beaten, yeah. Tyrone are awesome at that level, so there, and have been, as you say, for a number of years, Brendan. And you know, Donegal, after taking out a few of my own buddies down in Sligo in the semi-final, did a great run all year, so they had, and did really well to get to a final. You know, it's tough going. I'll tell you, I wasn't able to play much football after my 40s anyway. I don't know about you, Brendan.
Yeah. And Ryan, listen, still a great run for the lads. It's a great competition, you know, I suppose, in many ways, and it must be promoted under the GAA umbrella that these lads are still turning out for their county.
It's fantastic. Like, and you know, up against a strong Tyrone team, you know, and the Mark Donnelly and Stephen O'Neill and Marty McGrath from Fermanagh playing for them as well. Brendan, you need to throw that in as well. So they're up against it when they're up against a couple of different counties as well. So you know, in fairness to Eddie Crawford and his team, like, they put in a big effort. There's a huge number. I think they were telling me last week that maybe 46 were going to training on a Tuesday evening, which is fantastic. Like, yeah. you don't have to just give it up just because you're pushing on in years. Like, and there's plenty of very fit men still out there and still playing, and it's great to see.
Yeah, indeed. Good words. Right, folks, just before we dive into the club championship, you know, great listeners out there, a lot of people coming up, always enjoying the show, and one of them is Carl Harkin down in the Isle of Doe, Clonmany. Carl, thanks for listening in as ever, and of course Breedian down in PJ McDade's as well. Fans of the show, folks, thanks for all the support as ever. Folks, lads, getting into the weekend, I mean, where do we start? Let's start with Tiernan St Junan's, and I want to start with the game. I want to start with the match. And Ryan, interested me in news on, because a few weeks ago we had a bit of a chat about the initial draw, the Group 4 stage, and I was saying to you, I thought it was a good draw for Tiernan in terms of, right, you're up in senior championship, bring it on. You were thinking more tactical, and look how it's transpired since. They've met again, but this time Tiernan coming out on top.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a bad draw for the group phase, but I didn't think it was necessarily a bad draw for the preliminary quarterfinals. I just meant at the time, Brendan, I thought with Tiernan's progress, winning intermediate and, you know, winning Division 1, you know, it was really important. I felt that they got through to the knockout stages. And I just thought at the time there was probably easier games than St Union's to get. And, you know, maybe that first game helped them. You know, they were well beaten that day, but, you know, there was a couple of bad goals given away, and they probably felt God, you know, we're not that far off them. And, you know, they went out and well, you know, obviously there was a lot went on over the course of extra time, but, yeah. You know, like a big performance from Terman.
Yeah, Brendan, it was an epic game, you know, and myself and Ryan, I totally understand Ryan's point of view on it. I suppose my kind of attitude towards sport now is always like, bring it on, you know, whenever that big draw comes out, I always think, and even if I'm technically, as I suppose, the like Unions were going in as favourites, I always think, well, here's why we're here. We're here to test ourselves. But I think, I know what Ryan's talking about, that it would be better for Terman to reach a quarter and test themselves then. But I don't know, I just always have this thing where kind of bring it on a wee bit. But in many ways, as Ryan was saying, that first game defeat when they conceded a couple of bad goals, probably thought, here, we have a good opportunity against these boys come the pre-quarter final.
I'm sure that energised them. I'd say they felt hurt leaving that evening, you know, that Unions had maybe stolen a victory down there, conceded a couple of soft goals apparently, Brendan. And, you know, I've watched Terman a couple of times this year, been very impressed with them. Big men, big young athletic lads all over the pitch. And, you know, I was chatting to Mark before we came in, there's a great buzz down in Terman at the minute, so there's this great community effort and a great feel about the club down there. So, and you know, they came in no fear, St. Unions, and they showed that on Saturday evening, Brendan. Yeah. And you know, by all accounts, we're deserving winners on the field of play on the night.
Yeah, and Brian, as Brian was saying, there are huge things going on in the club, but on and dress rooms and everything's going right, you know, and in terms of the up and up. But Union still going in as reigning champions. And Convoy, Ryan, there's, and it was one day everywhere in Donegal, but it does seem a one day place is having a big effect on different halves of games, and a bit like the previous week as well. You know, with Terman going in 195 up at half time, were you thinking at that point, Ryan, that was ever going to be enough? I mean, St. Union's by halfway through the second half were level. You know, at that point, everything's pointing, I suppose, towards Union's going on and winning the match.
Yeah, well, like as you mentioned, you know, we've had a couple of terrible weeks of weather, and you know, there are the one that's having a big impact on, you know, pretty much every game you're going to, particularly with the two pointers in it, Brendan. And you know, like unless you're kind of 9 and 10 points up, and everything kind of feels like it could be brought back, you know, with not that long, you know, of time. You know, it just feels like, you know, if you can get a couple of two pointers early in the second half, you're going to be right back on top of somebody. So, you know, like it was an interesting one. Like just, you know, the first half, the you know, the Terman's goal, you know, was it fortuitous? Sean Patton off his line. Like he was out for the press a kick out before that, and Ryan McFadden went for it. He got a two pointer for booming one way over the bar. Brendan, I suppose, you know, you were thinking, oh, it was almost a goal, but I suppose he did get a two pointer. It would have only been one more extra point, really. If it had hit the net, like, but you know, it was, you know, I suppose Terman, they are young, they are athletic, and they probably felt that they would have the leg to stick with St. Unions in the second half.
Yeah, indeed. And Brendan, you know, there's something about, I suppose, as we're saying there, the fact where when once Unions got level, you know, I was watching the game on the stream, and I really thought to myself, right, one behind you now, they're going to take over. But the previous week as well, I felt that. And it was Terman who came after Unions. In many ways, the games are fairly similar, except, you know, the goals, maybe Unions fortuitously got the week before, weren't there this time. So the game just seemed like it was going to get really tight down the stretch. But you probably felt at that point the experience of Unions maybe would start to control the game. So you'd have to say, you know, there's a lot of steel showed by Terman for them to come back in, and particularly with Unions 2 up with minutes remaining. You really thought that was an unassailable lead, seeing as they were playing against the Breeze and couldn't get a two-pointer.
Absolutely. And Brendan, I was down in Ardra, I was covering the Niamh Connell Killy Beggs game, and I was following it kind of the whole way down, listening to the updates and that, and 7 points down at half-time, and knew we weren't playing well. But then 15 minutes in the second half, we're back level, we go in front, and I thought, ah, yeah, we should push on now a minute. But the reality is, Brendan, that St. Unions haven't really clicked at all this year. They haven't been playing well, and when you're put under pressure in a championship match, you know, Brendan, we've been there, and it just doesn't happen if it's not going for you. And I just felt like, you know, that Unions were lacking a bit of bite this year, and losing the likes of Conor Morrison was huge in my mind for them, because he brings that bit of craziness to the dressing room, that bit of drive. And I feel that we were a bit flat, and you know, we paid the ultimate price on Saturday evening, Brendan.
Yeah. And Ryan, listen, not make excuses for Unions. Conor O'Donnell Jr. out, Niall O'Donnell injured as well. Kind of key enough men to go to, but you kind of look at the depth of the Union squad and think, should they have been able to deal with that, you know. But certainly there didn't seem to be any time where there looked like there any difference in the team, even though one was intermediate champion and one was the senior champion.
Yeah, but like, you know, people chat about depth, Bren. You know, depth's there until the day when you need it, and you know, who are you going to call upon then? And you know, I got my hair on Wednesday that Conor Donnell had hurt himself in training on Tuesday night. Like, and you were thinking straight away, God, like that's a scoring forward gone there. You know, who's going to step in, or who's going to be in his place? You know, and like Niall O'Donnell obviously didn't look like he was anywhere near right at all, Brendan. So, you know, that's a huge blow, you know, and. You know, it's going to be tough for teams to deal with that. Like, you know, and Shane O'Donnell was a big threat, as you would expect him to be. You know, but it's just, you know, and in fairness, Owen McGeehan, I thought had a very good year for St Union this season. Brendan, I know he was kind of in and out of the team last year, and I thought he was a really good focal point. But yeah, probably just didn't have that attacking artillery that you would think they would have.
Yeah, certainly. And one man I'm always impressed with every time I see Tyrman is Ricky Gallagher. I just think it seems to be one of them players that you just would want in your team every time you go into battle. And not only but he does defensively, he helped himself to 1-2 as well. And after the match, Dermot Doherty caught up with Ricky.
First of all, congratulations. What an end to a game. What a victory.
Thanks very much. Nice to kind of get over the line. I said most of us thought we were point down when the final whistle went the first time, so we were kind of in shock, and seeing the two at Alls were beside me, they didn't know what was going on either, so just nice to get the win now, but no one's won yet, I suppose.
Yeah, well listen, that was the equalising score from Aaron Reid. It was the fist of Devon. That brought the game to extra time, so you weren't aware of what the actual score was. There's no scoreboard here at this venue, obviously, which doesn't help Ricky.
Well, I don't know if Aaron knew were point down or what, but we kind of had two goal chance there. That one was flicked on, I think it hit the crossbar. Bobby hit the crossbar about 5 minutes before, so we were probably going into a full time kind of probably feeling like we're unlucky not to get through already, but we grounded out in the end.
Well listen, nobody expected Tyrman to come here and win this one. Maureen and myself on commentary, we were talking before the game that you guys had nothing to lose. Is that the way you were approaching it today?
No, I wouldn't say so. After the loss last day, you know, we kind of identified a few mistakes. Kind of two goals were poor, and two black cards were probably black cards. We thought they were harsh, but still black cards, the letter of the law. So we thought if we could have rectified them at home, you know, we were right in the mix, if not probably a better side the last day. So I don't think it came as a shock to us, you know. We felt good. We trained really, really hard the last few weeks. Two bad losses in the group stage, but after that, you know, we kind of nailed down. Training was very good the last month or so.
Yeah. Well, listen, maybe that's a wee bit unfair of me to say that, but I'm thinking you're coming out today, Ricky, against the reigning champions. You're coming out against the St Union's team, mm-hmm. who are blessed with so much talent, so much experience, and know how to win matches like this. So you boys pulled it out of the fire.
I suppose they're probably unlucky not to be also champs last year. Like, we were up at Hilly Park when they lost to Eric O'Kearn last year, and it was very tight. So we knew they're a great side, but kind of we're backing ourselves too. I suppose we're not going to go. You never go out thinking you're going to lose a game. So now we had quite confidence, just kind of going under the thing a wee bit. So happy enough.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, listen, looking out there, it was a case of the walking wounded. You had players going, and St Union's, in fairness to them as well, they had players out injured, and you know, it's all about a squad effort, players coming off the bench. But listen, you've got to pick yourselves up and go again. Now all of a sudden you are in the last eight of this competition, in a quarter final. So where can Tyrman go after this, Ricky?
I suppose just go to the next game. You're not looking too far ahead. Kind of recovery tomorrow, and that's the next task. Not thinking about even training next week, just get out in Port and Ballymore and get the bodies in the water. So that's the next thing.
Yep, that is the next thing, but there is a small question mark there, Brendan Kilcoyne. And before we even get to that, I was just thinking about Tyrman. Ricky mentioned a couple of defeats there, but you know, very good one over from Astros. You covered that game.
I covered that game, and I was very impressed with them that day. As I mentioned, Brendan, the fitness and physicality, big men around the pitch, and you mentioned Ricky Gallagher. He was phenomenal that evening too, so he was absolutely brilliant. And you know, they're doing this. I think Aaron Deeney took up Darren McDade and did a pretty good job on Dara. So they're doing this without their main sharpshooter firing on all cylinders, basically, in that game, Brendan. And, you know, they've really impressed me. So they have the way they've pushed on. They're a young team, really playing well. And you have to give great credit to Keelan McDade for what he's done with this team and taking them. You know, they were, we saw them play last year before St. Junan's. Ricky referenced it there up in Oma. And, you know, they got off to a flyer of a start. You thought they were unbelievable. And then it didn't go for them. So to recover from that and to be competing against the best that Donegal Senior Championship has to offer is very good for them. And, you know, they'll push on. They're going to be a team to deal with in another few years because there's a lot of youth in that squad. So there is.
Yeah, a lot of youth. Yeah. Ryan, that means I'm coming to you next with the next question, which is this possible appeal. As far as I know, Unions are meeting tonight, Ryan. I don't know what's going to happen in there. What's your feeling on what happened at the end of the match in terms of the very last score for Terman?
Well, look, I suppose at the end of the day, there's a player coming off the pitch, and you know the play should be stopped until you know the player is off the pitch and somebody else is on. Now it's deep in the extra time, tensions are high, everybody's wrecked, even you know mentally and physically, you know. So there is a lot going on. It's probably just you know it's one of those. It's an error that's been made, you know, probably by the officials. Maybe not even a huge error at that time. Maybe it doesn't even feel like it's a huge thing at the time. And it's, you know, it becomes a big thing after the match, you know. So, listen, I don't know. I'm sure you have sources closer to the Unions camp than I would have, Brendan, on what they'll do. Probably not an easy thing to decide. I don't know. Is it a club committee decision? Is it management? Is it players that do this? You've also got the fact that, you know, you're two neighbouring clubs. So, yeah, a lot to weigh up, I would say.
Brendan, a lot to weigh up. You know, we were speaking about this earlier. Like, no one likes any of this in terms of,
you know,
teams win and lose games and that. Now, the thing is, like, I look at the image, and again, listen, I'm doing the Daily Beat for 5 years now. I only care. Listen, it's not to me in terms of the outcome of this. I just think, right, was there an indiscretion? Was that player involved in the play? You know, I spoke to the defender that was there. He said he was watching him. He thought he was in the play. So you can't rule out the fact that he might have got across and got. So there is a question mark there. And this isn't anything about sour grapes or winning or losing. This is, was there a breach of the rules? Which there definitely was. This wasn't Terman's fault, really. The player was on his way off the pitch. It was the official's fault. All right.
Yeah.
So at that point, when Unions complained to Mark Brown, he should have met his linesman and said, was that player on the pitch? Take the ball back, restart the play, give the ball back to Terman and play it again. That's what should have happened.
Yeah.
Now we're in this weird thing of, like, nobody wants to be the team that's objecting, you know, and even if they did object, Brian, and Ryan's asking there, listen, it'll be the Union senior team that'll decide that. They'll take it back to the club, should that want to be, let's say, you know, even at that, you can get a fine, as we've seen with the penalty debacle between Kilkear and Niamh Connell a few years ago. It's not to say you'll get a replay.
Yeah.
So it's a fine, a replay, or Union's.
Yes,
would be given the game if it was held up. Now there's a lot of ifs and buts in there, but just the incident itself, Brendan, what did you make of it?
Yeah, and again, as I say, I wasn't there, Brendan, but I watched it a few times, so I watched it back, and I do feel that John James Sweeney, that was coming off, I think it was Enda McCormick went on, John James Sweeney was coming off, and there's no doubt about it, like he was in the St. Junan's defensive arc, so he was. So obviously he was going to be picked up by a player. You don't leave a player sitting in there at that stage or any stage of a game without picking them up. So I think it did impact. That said, Brendan, to me, it happened, and you're correct. It is a problem with the officials. It's not Terman's fault. It's not St. Junan's fault. I think St. Junan's had the chance to win the game on the field of play anyway, Brendan.
Yeah.
Prior to that, we spoke
always
that they
the
were,
way,
they were,
Brendan,
you know,
the way,
and
you
I,
know, yeah, yeah,
I
yeah,
would be against appealing it. I would, for the integrity of the competition, I would be against it personally, but that doesn't mean to say I'm not involved with the team, so it's easy for me to say that.
I get you.
I'm not in the dressing room. I don't feel the pain that the lads have been training all year, so I get. You know, where they're coming from on it. But for me, Terman, you know, watching it back, were the better team in the evening, showed more desire, showed more want, showed more will, and showed more, you know, composure coming down the final straight to go and win the game when it was there to be won. We had the opportunity at St. Junan's to do that, and we didn't do enough on the field of play, Brendan. So to me, it's a case of let it go.
Yeah. Ryan, do you think these such incidents should be up to, like I was talking earlier, I was on with Greg and just saying that I don't think these answers should be up to Unions to come on to do the objection. The officials obviously have done something wrong. Should it not be up to a county board or a CCC or someone to adjudicate on whether this is an issue that was missed on the name, whether it's serious enough to be pursued further. Would that not be the right, rather than clubs creating what could be bad blood, which you go down for years? And as Brian said, it's not something that any players in the field of play ever like or they'd be involved in.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I think it definitely probably shouldn't be up to the clubs to decide it. Like, you know, but it is a tricky one. Like, it's the time of the game that it happens at. You know, if it happens in the first half after 15 minutes, is it as big of an issue? I don't know. Like, it is a tough one. Like, and you know, as Brendan says, you know, you've players in there and they're probably going to the gym a couple of times in the evening or a couple of times a week. They're, you know, training. You know, some of them are, I know, are living away and they're coming down the road. So they're investing a lot into it. Like, you know, and, you know, if they feel they've been hard done by, maybe they'll want to press the matter. Like, you know, but yeah, I probably do think maybe it should be on the CCC or the county board or some faction there to maybe look into it rather than either of the clubs have to be bringing it up.
Yeah, and Brendan, really, I suppose you look at it, you know, and again, I know I would give off the refs a lot when I was playing, and I feel bad about that now. I do, honestly. I do.
So, yeah, I get you.
But, you know, when I see refereeing now, when you get, I think when you get older and you look at it, and particularly if you've ever refed an in-house game in your own club, I mean, as Ryan was saying there is so much going on around what's happening there, you know, and... you know, it's so hard because there's so many things going on. And listen, referees, in terms of handling everything, does this just go down to an error on the referee's part? Surely you can't say whether it affected the player or not. But really, as you said, you know, is there enough grounds for that to be the thing? And as you said, it's on a one-point game, you see. It does leave that question mark there. But I'm just saying, like, it was a referee's error. You know, very hard to say either way. So is that grounds enough to get a whole saga going? You know, it's a very difficult one for...
There may be an argument, Brendan, for what you say, to set up a committee in a county for these kind of objections, because they're arising all over the county. There's a couple of situations where 2 points have been awarded for well inside the arc, and there's appeals down in Mayo for over a game. And, you know, so there is a regular thing here. So I think it's something that the GAA may look at to create up an independent body within each county to look at these situations, be it the CCC or members of the CCC or how many CCC you have and kind of thing, you know, but you know, something like that. But I don't think it shouldn't be, you're 100% right, Brendan, it shouldn't be left on the clubs to pursue this. They should be able to say, listen, this happened, make an adjudication on it, and that the clubs will just agree to whatever adjudication is made on it, like, you know.
Listen, 100%, lads, we'll move on to the other games, and spare a thought for Martin Regan, and he's probably watching tapes tonight of Termin, and well, he could just watch the two games, he'll see the two teams playing. Listen, that's who they're lined up against. It doesn't get any easier. Ryan, just on the men from Niamh Connolly, had an iffy enough group phase, you know, a lot of people were looking up saying they don't, maybe haven't hit form yet. Was that form hitting, do you think, against Killie Beggs in their 3:15-2:10 victory? It certainly looked more like the Niamh Connell of old.
Yeah, they were very impressive, Brendan, weren't they? Like, you know, consider they gave away a couple of bad goals that maybe you wouldn't expect them to do every week. You know, they ran out good winners. You know, definitely the younger players seem to be really finding it. Shea Malone, very impressive again. The last day, you know, so have a huge amount of options. A wee bit, perhaps, like the St Unions thing, you've been kind of waiting for it to click. You know, so is that the performance that pushes them on now? You know, Finbar Rorty, you know, really, really impressive driving forward. Kieran Gallagher's having a massive championship, really looks the part, one of the best midfielders in the county. He's had a huge impact. Ethan O'Donnell's getting back up to speed. Will McGettigan's a threat inside. So, yeah, like, the Connell are going to have a big say in this championship yet.
Yeah, certainly. And those players that Ryan mentioned, there's a breadth of talent there. They seem to be playing a bit beneath themselves in terms of what we were expecting from that group. But you're just looking, and we kind of felt, right, once it gets the knockout, you're going to see a bit of a different team. And Ryan's, of all those players, like Ryan's mentioned there, the big Geller at midfield, like he is. And you look at Brendan, even the day, yesterday's games, particularly the second game we were covering, the amount of, say, swinging on the kickouts, you know, that you have. So when you have someone that has presence out in the midfield, it's such an extra. Now that Kieran Thompson isn't there, but certainly already now you'd say, listen, it's a difficult assignment for Termon going into this game, because I think Niamh Conlon will be probably a couple of notches up from what they made against St Unions.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we all have the same question about Niamh Conlon. I've seen them two or three times coming into last week, and I was down in Ardra, and I left hugely impressed with Niamh Conlon after the performance they put in all over the field. And, you know, Ryan was referenced big Kieran Gallagher in the middle of the field there. For a big man, he's a huge skill level too. Technically, he's very good, and his fitness level looks better than I've ever seen him look before, because I know he had a couple of years out, but he never looked totally tuned in, but he looks tuned in. He looks on it this year, so he does. And, you know, young Shane Malone, really impressive, got the two goals, really impressive inside in the corner. But it's all over the field. Kevin McGeady, and like he's awesome. He just covers every blade of grass every day, so he does. Same with Finbar Rorty. He's tackling ferociously at the back, and next thing he's coming up and supporting the attack and getting off the shoulder and making these runs. And, you know, then you have Owen McGeady. While he's not fully firing on all cylinders yet, you can see that he's about to bubble. Like, you know, he's just getting better and better all the time, so he is. And obviously Ethan O'Donnell back. Oren Doherty was brilliant again the last night, so he was. They're solid at the back. Now, they did concede a couple of bad goals. Like, the first one was a bit of a fluke kind of thing, in that it was a high ball in. Huey was jostling with AJ, and then Steve McGrath decided to come out and get involved with Jossa, and next thing the ball went in for back of the net, and, you know, what you call him, Rory Coyler got another goal after about 20 minutes then, so he did for Killy Beggs, put them back. But Niamh Conlon seemed to be able to press the button, and when they did, they were pretty awesome, Brendan, so they were very, very impressive.
Ryan, but Killy Beggs, maybe, you know, like a lot of teams in Donegal, they seem to be, you know, getting, they're moving up the gears a bit anyway, Ryan. They're becoming more competitive. Certainly Bone are doing a good job down there. Like, they look like they've a danger element to them as well, you know, and certainly they didn't go down without a fight.
No, they definitely did battle. They had a good championship in general, good wins over Termon and Arua. You know, I seen them early on in the league, Brendan, you know, and obviously they didn't have Hugh or Owen Bann and Evan Broderick was away, and they just looked off the pace. I know Jack McSherry is working away as well, and, you know, it's probably tough to keep it going, you know, early in the season. And that's probably a factor that you're seeing with a lot of teams. Probably Niamh Columber, another one of those, Brendan. And, you know, is it almost like two separate seasons now that, you know, just get through the league and then really lift it for the championship then, you know? So, yeah, like the likes of, you know, Huey has had a really impressive, like, playing kind of high up the field the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I think they'll probably be a wee bit disappointed. They weren't a bit closer to Niamh Conlon. I think they would have fancied to be they were underdogs, obviously, but I think they probably would have thought they maybe would have been a wee bit closer on the night.
Yeah. And Brendan, looking into this game, Termon, Niamh Conlon now, is the week-on-week thing now, I suppose, you know, you have this massive win over Unions, and listen, straight down, back focus. Obviously, you have the thing in the background about a potential objection, whether it happens or not, but, you know, get focused. You're playing Niamh Conlon, coming off the back of a great win. So, listen, it's thick and fast. It's a bit too fast in terms of these big games, but it'd be better building up to them.
Like a build-up, and particularly for Termon, who, after recording a huge victory against the county champions, and they don't really get time to enjoy it. And we talked about this during the summer, too, with Donegal, like, coming off the back of a big win, and you're out again the following week, so you don't really get your rehabbing, you're getting injuries recovered and that kind of thing to get ready for next week. And most of all, you're getting your mindset. You're getting the mindset of the team, and that'll be Keelan McDade's main thing this week, getting the mindset right. We've taken St. Junan's. Why should we fear Niamh Conlon? Why should we go down? Why would we have any fear going in against them? You know, and it's going to be a big ask for them. Of course, it's going to be a big ask for them, but they have to go for it. Yeah. They have to go for it. Like there was mentioned, you always have something to lose in the championship game. You always have something to lose. But you go down there and throw everything at it, and, you know, you never know what's going to happen, as opposed to maybe trying to be a bit, you know, hold back a bit, or a bit conservative is the word.
It doesn't work anymore.
No, it doesn't. In the new rules.
You got to go for it. I suppose in sticky games now, they come very close, and then they did come through another one. Ryan, McCool's Downing's there. Yesterday, McCool's doing their usual gig of dancing on the a big lead and then getting pulled back. They don't make it easy for Mr. Wilson on the sideline.
No, they're not, like, but I suppose they're through to the next round. You know, they fell at the preliminary quarterfinals last year, I'm pretty sure, Brendan. So, you know, to get through to the to the quarterfinals, they'll be happy. You know, obviously the Oisin, you know, wasn't available, you know, so that was going to be huge. And you know, it's going to, I'm sure he's their talisman up front, and yeah, they're used to not playing without him in the league, but it's different than the championship, you know. And yeah, Downes came back well at them, but you know, McCool's weathered the storm, and you know, they'll be eyeing up a semi-final spot now.
Yeah, they will indeed. And Brendan, were you impressed with the way towards the end of the match? I know they were 8 points up, and as we're saying, Ryan was mentioned earlier, teams get pulled back very quickly from that. There was real, I mean, you've got to really admire Downing's, you know. Again, we're talking about Killy Beggs and different teams. You're looking at the level of coaching going on and the application. You know, first class, you'd have to say, they're right up there. I mean, I've seen Downing's play a few times. You know, competitive against Dunloe, obviously. Same with Niamh Connell, you know, right with Downing, yeah. Beat Kilcare through to the semi. So, you know, it's been a brilliant season for them, and you know, real kind of sucker points. They were trying to get back that level point, and McCool's holding the ball, and eventually Chad McSorley kind of lost the ball. It ran away from him, and then he banged it into the back of the net. It was a cruel enough finish, taking nothing away from McCool's on Downing's.
Hugely brave performance from Downing's. That needs to be said first. And talk about, you know, maximising your resources. Maxi and Barney and Cookie, like, they've done a fantastic job down there. So they have, like, you know, and they really have. And that's not bigging them up or anything like that. That's the reality. They really showed great. But for me, McCool's, you know, they play some of the best football. It's absolutely a joy to watch. Yeah. When they're on it, they play a joy to watch. My one concern for them, now Luke Gavigan started really, really well in the first half yesterday, dominated the middle third, so he did for 20 minutes. My one concern for them, though, is the lack of physicality. And if you go back to when Gidor beat them last year out in the park, just it was that lack of physicality. And now they've lost Oisin Gallen. We Kevin McCormick, who's a fantastic little player inside two, hamstring, have to be doubtful for next week. So, you know, they're huge losses. But, like, when you see McGinty, we Conor McGinty at full flow, Sean Martin at full flow, Jamie Keegan, these guys, they're lovely footballers and they play it really, really well. And some of the scoring that they did yesterday was just top-notch, so it was. So I would love to see them go on. Rory Callaghan did a brilliant, brilliant job, the cornerback, on Paddy McIlwee, like, really restricted him. Paddy did get a few shots off. He just had an off day. It wasn't happening for him. And I suppose Downing's would have been looking for Johnny McGrady and Paddy McIlwee to kind of be the forefront of their attack. And they were well shut down. Gary Wilson had worked on that. They were well shut down, so they were. But McCool's, you know, they're going into a semi-final now, so they are against St. Michael's. And they've every chance. Yeah, it's a hard one to call. And again, it comes back to my concern about their lacking maybe a bit of physicality around the middle, kind of thing. You know, that because St. Michael's are a big, strong team, so they are. You know, they've a lot of big artillery, and they're playing. But St. Michael's have been playing well. Now, interestingly, I was down at the Michael's McCool's game early on,
the opener
in the championship, and McCool's blew them away. They were 12 points up with 6 or 7 minutes to go, and Michael suddenly turned on the power, and McCool's were lucky to get away. They were very lucky to get out of it, so they were that day. So that'll be a really hard to call which way it's going to go, but it's going to be a cracker of a game. And I suppose the big question is, can McCool's get either Farah, Oisin Gallen, or Kevin McCormick back on the pitch to give them a better chance up front?
Yeah, that's a huge thing there, Ryan, week on week, to get these guys back, because your key men, no more, you know, we'll come to it now, than the likes of, you know, Michael Murphy missing for Glenn. I know he was long term, but, you know, when your main men aren't in there, it changes the whole dynamics of the game. And again, that's such a hard game to call, McCool St. Michael's. And, you know, as Brendan says, losing that opening game, you're always thinking that opening game, you maybe read too much in it. Since then, you know, they've been playing good stuff, no more than that brilliant victory down in Niamh Connell. So, listen, two teams will think, you know, they deserve to be, like, at a semi-final. Ryan, real 50-50 one.
Yeah, and you're right about the injuries, Brendan, and it is one load. And, you know, it's quite often not fair. You know, like, you'll see some teams are struggling badly with injuries, and other teams can get their pretty much the strongest side out. Like, and if you're one of those teams that can get their strongest side out, you've got to make the most of it, because you don't know what's going to happen. You mightn't be so lucky the following year. And yeah, like, the, you know, I remember watching the first game at the stream, on the stream, and, you know, McCool's were well up in that game. So Michael's missed a couple of goal chances, I think I'm right, and Michael Langan didn't play. So obviously Michael Langan is going to be a big factor. You're probably expecting Joe Boyle maybe to shadow him and see if he can nullify his influence. And, you know, the other side of it is going to be the weather. You know, if the weather continues like this, you know, St. Michael's. Like, St. Michael's have a lot of players in their 30s. They're an experienced team, seasoned team. They're strong in the tackle. They know what they're about. So, you know, it's, you know, if we continue to have wet and windy weather, you'd be thinking that St. Michael's. But, you know, if these McCool's lads can get the chance to open up, they've huge pace and athleticism.
Yeah, two teams have been knocking on the door certainly the last couple of years. Folks, listen, great roundup. After the break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk a bit more for Masters and Glen and the other matches to come, and a bit on the intermediate as well. Back after these.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen, and there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Yes, welcome back. As ever, thank you to Sister Sarah's for their ongoing support of the show, and everybody that helps out in the show. Thank you so much, folks. We're continuing now. Brendan, we're just talking there off mic about the managements, and in a time where the GAA is trying to straighten out the money merry-go-round, it isn't the same. You know, certain clubs are doing it, but there's loads. No, the majority aren't.
No, all eight teams in the quarterfinals, homegrown managers, which is great to see. You know, it's great to see young fellas and boys coming through and taking on their own clubs. And I think even if you go through the four teams that were eliminated in the prelims, I think, you know, that they're all homegrown too. So it is good to see. So it is, Brendan. And, you know, it's, management is a tough gig, Brendan. Managing is a tough gig for anyone to take on, expectation levels, etc., within different clubs. And, you know, to see lads taking it on is encouraging. So it is.
Yeah, massive stuff. And Ryan, it's good for the future of the game, because as we're complimenting the coaching goes on, it's great that it's homegrown guys that are doing it, because I suppose they've the right attitude of the club in mind, and they're not there just for a year or two, and they're not like picking up big money, which some people, you know, leaves a bad taste in some people's mouth. And it's a bit unfair, I suppose, in terms of the level playing field that we're always looking to have in the GAA.
Yeah, but even in terms of, you know, for our county teams going forward, minor and under 20, like, you know, you like to think people are, you know, taking on club jobs and maybe be ambitious, that maybe it might lead to something down the line. And you know that coach education and all the rest of it, Brendan, and spreading the awareness and the expertise and helping clubs develop. And you know, there's huge amount of work and effort goes into it, and energy, you know, and with analysis and all the rest of it at the minute, Brendan. You know, and teams are leaving no stone unturned.
Yeah, I remember my cousin up in Monaghan, you know, he was coaching teams, and he was saying, I go to my own team, you know, I don't get paid. He's like, I went up the road 15 miles across the border in Dermahan, I got 25 grand a year.
He was madness.
Like, figure that out. And I was like, well, that's just the way of the world, you know. And listen, we'll not get into this. That's a deep conversation for now. Brendan, Four Masters, Glen, yesterday, this Four Masters team that have been coming, and they're knocking on the door, they're still winning nearly every underage competition. I see now, they are having a lot of battles with actually Glen in a lot of those, so there's a lot of good work going on in Glen underage. But listen, it was a tight tussle there yesterday, just maybe that wee bit of extra brilliance from the forward line of Four Masters was just maybe the key in the end.
Yeah, the two cars were phenomenal, Turlough and Senan. Like, I think Senan got 5 points, Turlough won two. And, you know, there's so much talent throughout, the whole way through that. I thought the Reid brothers, in particular Connor, was really, really good for Four Masters yesterday. And, you know, Callum McCrae at the back, Conor McCahill, the goal early on, Brendan, it was phenomenal. Like, what, you know, you just love to see football that like was, that. Yeah, that puts the hair stand. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Like, and you know, but I think we spoke about Down into Brave. What a brave performance that was from Glenn Swilly. They just kept coming back. They wouldn't go away. And you know, poor Donald Gallagher was nearly cut in two at one stage and hobbling on one leg and getting tackles in, still getting up the field to get another score. Like, and it was brilliant. It was really enjoyable game of football to watch. So it was. And you know, Four Masters just had that extra bit of quality, so they had, that was enough to see them over the line. And you know, obviously didn't mention even Kevin Muldoon there. Like, you know, what a quality player he is. Brilliant. And there's more to come from him, I believe. Yeah. I believe there is more to come from him, you know. So they're going to be happy going into a, you know, a quarter final now, and they totally deserve to be there. Are they ready to go the whole way? That remains to be seen, but they're going to be very close, Brendan.
Yeah. Listen, Muldoon's 245 is a kick word.
He just clips them.
It looks so easy. Yeah. You know, we do talk about the I'm not a golfer myself, but the wee pitch. And it just made it look like it's a tap over.
Players like that, they just annoy me, Brendan, because you're standing over 45 and you're trying to.
You can't reach.
Yeah.
and Ryan, you know, looking at it, you know, again, Brendan's mentioned, I mean, Gary McFadden, I mean, what a servant he's been to the Glen, you know, as well. You know, with the 6 points and some belter 2-pointers. And you got the feeling at times, you know, Glenswally were clinging on them, but then they would take control of the game as well. It was an unbelievable effort. And again, missing, of course, the main man himself. We all know what Michael Murphy is to Donegal. I mean, just imagine what he would have been to Glen in that game yesterday.
Yeah, like he was a huge loss. And you have to hand it to Gary. Like, I think he was playing... Was it 20 years ago they won the intermediate? I'm pretty sure he was playing back then. So, you know, he's been a great, great servant to Glenswally. And, you know, he gives them valuable experience and they need it because, you know, there's a lot of young players in it. You know, we 18, 19-year-olds in their team. And, you know, I'm sure that they'll be probably disappointed, you know, that they're out of the championship today and you know, that they didn't get that chance to have Murphy because, you know, he played so well for Donegal during the year. And I'm sure the players were going up to Clonus and Croke Park just waiting for the chance to get to play with him. And it just didn't play out this year. And that's the unfortunate thing for them. But, you know, they've a very young team and, you know, there's more players on the way and they'll come back again from this.
Yeah, no doubt, and they will. Brian, just the contrast in styles yesterday in terms of Four Masters were going after the ball, you know, and Glenswally were more dropping on the zone, particularly in the first half. They did come out a bit in the second half, changed it up a wee bit, in fairness. It looked like they had a word about that because Four Masters were so dangerous, they were able to drop the shoulder. So many players you could beat. You were kind of sitting nearly inviting trouble. You know, I always think, like, in the modern game now, that you should, at least at times, go after the ball because if you try and tackle around the midfield, if somebody gets away, you should have a second chomp at it. Whereas there was times there Four Masters were just easily going by the Glenswally lads in the first half. But there certainly was a change in tactics. And as you said, no want of effort from the Glen men. There was a real, I suppose, a game around about the real knockout championship feel to the game, and it was really exciting knife edge on down to them last 3 points that Four Masters got at the end.
Yeah, definitely, Brendan. And you know, the huge contrast in styles, and I noticed that in a couple of the games this weekend. Like, some teams were looking to really to kick an awful lot, kind of thing. You know, to kick it inside and test the full back line, and you know, but Glenswally, you know, they just probably, you know, obviously Michael is such a huge player for them, and not having him now, listen, it's all in hindsight, it doesn't matter now because they're out, sort of thing, but it's a huge, huge loss. Like, and you have to think that if he was there, what course would the game have taken, Brendan? But I think, you know, if that Four Masters had that little bit extra in them, they just showed a wee bit of lack of experience maybe at certain stages in the game where they kind of gave control or least control of the game kind of thing to Glenswally. And Glenswally are so smart in these situations, Brendan. We've seen them down through the years. They know how to control a game. They know how to get in your face and to disrupt the opposition. And they did that brilliantly yesterday to come back within a hair's breadth of getting over the line.
Yeah. And right now, setting up Dunloe, they drew just a couple of weeks ago. It was a late 2-pointer that equalised for Dunloe, which actually put Urans out of the automatic qualification. So, listen, Ryan, that's set up again. So many of these games are going to be hard to call. That's another 50-50.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what? I have a bit of a fancy for Dunloe this year. I think that they take a lot of boxes, Brendan, but this is going to be a really, really tough game for them, like, because Four Masters are coming with huge energy. You know, they're going well, they're confident. As you mentioned McCahill earlier on, like, you know, we in Donegal we don't bring through a lot of players that are comfortable playing close to goal, and he's one of them, and he knows where the net is, you know. So that, you know, it's going to be a tough one for Dunloe, but I think if Dunloe can keep out the goals, you know, keep things tight, you know, and Glenswally did okay in the midfield battle with Four Masters, particularly in the second half. I think Dunloe will maybe think that's maybe a sector they can get on top on.
Yeah, certainly. And Brendan, the last one, of course, Kilcare, Gidor. Gidor looked very impressive to me, you know, well coached, solid, big team, you know, the hard team to break down, like a lot of options for him, a lot of scoring threats as well. And of course, Kilcare, who We were just thinking that this, particularly with their league form, you know, it looked like they're going to get relegated. They come with that big run at the end, five in a row. They beat Unions on opening day, and maybe Unions obviously missing a few, but still, the Downing's defeat, then you're like, right, what's going on, Kilgore? And then that. That unbelievable performance.
Again, I was down in Kilcara that evening, so I was, and they were absolutely brilliant. Kilcara were absolutely brilliant that evening, but it has to be with the proviso that Glenswilly kind of knew their fate before the ball was thrown in, and were they throwing everything at it, or were they keeping themselves for yesterday?
Right.
So there was that provision. But Kilcara were really, really good, looked really sharp, looked really on it. Ryan McHugh's playing really well, Brian O'Donnell playing, Ryan McShane, the McLean brothers, and obviously the two McBrearty's insides. If they can get Owen McHugh back on the field, they will be a queer detail. So they will. I haven't seen Gidor play in the championship this year, but they seem to be going really well, and I'm long enough around the tooth to never discount Gidor.
Never. Good man, Bren. Listen, that's another fascinating encounter. Right, intermediate, it's catching fire. Red Hughes going well, just got across the line against Bundoran. Steve McMenamin flying. Niamh Mhara beating the homeboys there. Intermediate's hot and upward. Semi-final stage, Ryan.
Yeah, I was at Neve Columba and Buncrana yesterday.
That sounded so much.
It was an absolute cracker. So it was, Neve Columba made hard work of it because they were the better team, but Keelan McGonigal and Kevin Jordan got a couple of two-pointers for Buncrana, brought them right in it. They had the breeze, they were a point up, and you were thinking they were going to take it, and Neve Columba were going to fall short again, but Neve Columba got a second win late on. They got a great goal from Paddy Byrne and kicked two more points. And, you know, they're definitely a mobilised outfit this year, and they're going to take a bit of stopping. I was at Neve Mhara and Milford as well. And it was Christmas Day for Neve Mhara. There was a lot of gifts being handed out by Milford, Brendan. It did right. Three breaches, and there was a two-pointer brought up for descent as well. But Neve Mhara, more probably seasoned physical team, and well worth their victory. And also had a wee look at Mallon and Muff on the stream, Brendan. Another cracking game, and could have went either way. And a couple of goals from Finn Ward and Josh Conlon in extra time did it for Mallon. So they play Neve Mhara now this weekend, and that should be a cracking game.
Yeah, a couple of brilliant games to come up there. And, you know, just tracking Neve Columba through the championship, they were just shooting the lights out. And I've seen them do it other years as well, Brendan. Again, goals to the fore there. I mean, for Buncrana had hit the lead on 60 minutes, but as Ryan was saying there, Paddy Byrne and an extra couple of scores chipping on. But the intermediate championship, Brendan, real a competitiveness in there, and some great football matches. And it's great as well, as Ryan was saying, that the streaming isn't just doing senior, they're doing those games as well. Me and Oisin did these Paddy Buncrana a couple of weeks ago. It's great to see.
Yeah, it is. And there, you know, some fantastic football available at that level. I suppose the disappointing thing is that there's so many games going on, Brendan, that you can't get around to get to
Tell
some of these
it.
Games, you know.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
that you want to get. I'd love to go and watch that. We'll say Mallon Niamh Porrick game sounded like a clinker, like kind of thing, you know. And we followed Muff, the whole, or Niamh Porrick, the whole way through Ulster last year, Brendan, and we had great times following them. And you just love to sit down and watch them now to see how they've developed and where they're at. But there's too many games on, you can't be everywhere.
You know, I met a Tyrone man, I was out for lunch today in the Mount Airgill in the Tyrone bus. Did you see this game? He's like, say, sir, I have enough. On the plate there, Donegal. I did flick on. I did watch Eric O'Leary.
The Tyrone Championship looks mental.
I know, it was a Thursday night. And I was chatting to Michael McMullen. We're talking about doing a hit across Tyrone and Derry. I said, Mal, I'll tell you what it is now. They're definitely this week. I said, there's actually no time.
Yeah.
As there isn't, as we're down to the last couple of minutes. Ryan, can you pick a couple of finalists in the intermediate there? Who do you fancy to make it through the semis?
I probably think it's going to be a Neve Columba, Neve Mhara final.
Yes. Yeah, and that would be a cracker as well.
Oh, I think that would be a really good game if it came to it. Like, but
Red Hughes have already beaten Neve Mhara in the earlier group stages, didn't they? And so the Red Hughes are really building up as well. Is this new territory for them, Ryan?
Yeah, I should know off the top of my head, but I don't, Brendan, when last time they were at this stage, you know. But, you know, Darren O'Leary and Marcus Sullivan have come in this year, Brendan. They've got, you know, a lot, they've really brought things on. And there's always been good players in Red Hughes, just haven't always had the right, maybe, application. But, you know, Steve McMenamin's driving them forward, Johnny Carlin, Liam Carlin. So, yeah, they're going up against Neve Columba. And Neve Columba, you know, look like men on a mission. So they'll do well to come through that one.
Yep. of course, I mean, in recent times, of course, the Red Ewes men have been in county finals and everything else and won senior league titles and that. So listen, great for them, folks.
The great Marty Carlin.
The great Marty Carlin and Tara Lynch, of course.
Yes.
They took him in from a wee transfer and from Drone. You didn't all transfer, Brendan, But listen, Ryan Ferry, the main man, the greatest sports journalist of his generation. Thank you. Was that the title? That's what I'll give you tonight. Ryan, listen, thanks so much, sir, as ever, for your contribution. And Brendan Kilcoyne as well. Thank you very much for producing this evening. And I will speak to you all next week. Stay tuned, of course, for the excellent Monday night sessions.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.